Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 192 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Knowing Wheel returns to discuss what ended up being an incredibly eventful Italian Grand Prix. Of course, as always, I am joined by Jamie183. First of all, how are we doing, sir?
I'm good. Had my first day at a new job today, so I was home by 12 o'clock. It was fantastic, but that won't be continuing, sadly. But yeah, here to talk about some Formula One as always, and it was actually a good race. I mean, I sound surprised. It's been a really good season since Spain. Or maybe before.
Since Miami, I'd argue. Yeah. Ever since Miami, this season has actually been entertaining, hasn't it? It's been quite the turnaround still over the course of the campaign. Yeah, Jamie now works 4 hours, 3 days a week, full-time, of course.
That definitely is not true.
I guess you could argue is about as much work as I do.
Yeah.
Many would suggest. Self-employed. No one's self-employed, really, are they? But glorious times, and it's always nice to speak to my good friend once again. Of course, quickly, you know, if you want Jamie to work less hours, and you aren't already, get yourself subbed to the channel. We're at 714 subscribers at the time of recording. We're still aiming for that golden 1,000 here on YouTube. So please, if you aren't already, drop us a follow, show us some love. It'd be greatly, greatly appreciated. But the weekend kicked off, Jamie, with a prediction that we made that ended up being true, except for it wasn't true when we made the prediction, so it was a bit weird.
Yes, we basically, was it Friday morning we recorded, basically saying Antonelli will get announced by the time the podcast went up. He wasn't announced by the time it went up, but give it 24 hours and he was.
Yeah,
the worst kept secret in Formula One for this year, really, ever since Hamilton announced he was off to the red team, that one you might have heard of, Ferrari. And I loved Toto Wolff. I don't know if you saw his quote saying, someone asked him, when did you make your mind up about Antonelli to Mercedes? He was like, about 5 minutes after Hamilton phoned me telling him he was leaving. Then why on earth did he try to be signing every other driver under the sun for that second seat all season?
I've lost Jamie.
Have you?
Are you there? Yeah, I lost you completely.
Oh, well, you can. I was just ranting, so if you were quiet, then it's fine.
Fair enough. All I heard was, and Toto Wolff said, and it just cut out.
Right, well, that's not very helpful. When he said that he made his mind up about Antonelli 5 minutes after Hamilton phoned him in January.
I think that's probably not true, I'll
no,
be honest.
Exactly.
But I love the hype of you, new
driver. He tried to sign Verstappen for most of the summer, and reached out a little bit to Science, didn't he? But Science wouldn't have a 1 year deal. So
No.
Yeah, very odd. Very, very much lying from Toto Wolff, you'd imagine, but fair play.
I tell you what I think is the funniest bit about all that. George Russell must be absolutely livid, thinking, I spent 3 years slogging away down at Williams because you can't just join the big team. I had to prove myself. I bottled so many points chances. I wasted, you know, what was it, about 60 Grand Prix of my life down the drain for Williams. Suddenly, you bring in some 18-year-old Italian kid who's not even going to win Formula 2 or Formula 3 like I managed, and he just instantly gets the seat. What's that about? I bet Georges was seething about that.
Yeah, I do think he'll be pleased that he'll probably pocket Antonelli, you'd imagine, next season, which will do him a bit of a favour.
It wouldn't surprise me if he didn't. Yeah, first few races, I mean, he would. I mean, well, it brings us nicely, doesn't it, onto Antonelli's free practice run, because that was pretty special, wasn't it?
Yeah, and how on earth they spun that as a positive.
Because he went out there and he wasn't afraid, Jamie. That was the big thing.
He wasn't afraid of that tyre barrier.
The balls on that man to get into a Formula One car for an official free practice for the first time ever and just immediately decide you want to set a lap record and keep trying to do that for 10 minutes until you inevitably stack it. I genuinely think he's incredible. Like, I love that. It's stupid, but great.
Yeah, but the fact Will Buxton and Lawrence Barretto on Twitter were giving it large because they're employed by F1 to make this kid look good. So they were just being like, oh, it's so brave to go and crash at Parabolica. It's like, well done. Well, if Sargent went and crashed at Parabolica, he'd be calling for his head.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, the bit that made me laugh as well, of course, was all those then tweets afterwards, wasn't it? Because obviously it was a 45G crash, because it was quite a big one, to be fair to him. And then obviously everyone go, but he just went back to the pit lane and ate Pringles. And you think Max Verstappen, all of his fans still give spiel about how Lewis Hamilton tried to kill him.
An 81 G crash, was it not?
51.
Yeah.
That was not that was the whole point. There wasn't much difference in it.
Well, do you want to experience 6G extra?
Yeah, go on. I'd be fine. You got to remember temporarily. Hang on a minute. If you're on a going on about that kind of thing, Kenny Brack, IndyCar, I think it was Texas 2003, 291 G.
Did he survive?
Yeah, most G-force ever sustained by a human and survived, apparently, that we know of. Yeah, madness. Absolute madness. But yeah, I mean, Antonelli, like we said, worst kept secret in the paddock, wasn't it? It was, obviously, we had Franco Colapinto debuting. I mean, we'll talk about it a bit more later on in the video, but he did a very, very good job, didn't he?
He did all right,
admittedly, it's Monza, so it's the perfect place to debut, but he did a very good job.
He did. He finished, what, maybe 10 seconds off Albon, 12 seconds or so?
Apparently, yeah. Race, it wasn't much.
Not too bad at all.
No, did a really good job. Really good job. Shall we get straight into qualifying then, Jamie? Because, of course, free practice, everyone was still basically trying to work out the new resurfacing at Monza. Obviously, we've had quite a few track changes as well, haven't we? What did we make of the circuit changes? Obviously, Ascari is now way easier.
Yeah.
The first chicane, the second, I guess pretty much every single corner on the entire lap, with maybe the exception of Parabolica, is now easier.
Slightly easier, but also the new tarmac made havoc with the tyres, didn't it? They were really not happy.
Well, it was a recently resurfaced, wasn't it?
Yeah. So give it a few years and that'll be probably okay.
Give it next year, it'll be fine. Monza's a pretty well-used circuit.
Yeah, it is. It seems... I don't like how much easier Ascari gets based on... Obviously, I have only driven it on the game. I've been there, but I've not driven it. I like how on edge you were in the game on Ascari when there's gravel right on your right hand side as you're going around the middle bit of Ascari. So
yeah.
It's a shame that that's now just a massive curb that you can kind of get away with a bit more. But yeah, I like the gravel on turn 4, definitely, at the whatever chicane that's called. You can help me out with that.
This is going to really annoy me
the
now.
The Rogier? Or is that first turn?
It is Rogier, isn't it? Yeah, I'm pretty certain. Yeah, because it annoyed me, and it's going to be a little bit of a side tangent, but watching the F2 and the F3 all weekend, Alex Brundle calling the first chicane De La Rogier. I mean, no, it's De La Rogier. It's that air in the end. Like,
yeah, yeah,
because
we
sound
speak
too
fluent
British
Italian.
Whilst you're trying to do it.
Ciao,
exactly.
Yes, I mean, the track seems, it's obviously historic. That will change it massively. It seems fine. The tyre wear, I did enjoy, because as we'll get into, it made it a very good race.
It certainly did. And I mean, qualifying as well was... genuinely, I was so lucky this was the weekend I was able to sit down and watch F3, F2 and F1 and pretty much all the sessions for all three. Because it was just a brilliant weekend right the way throughout. Every single session was fantastically entertaining for one reason or another. I mean, let's talk about qualifying then, shouldn't we? I'm, first of all, Jamie, staggered... Nothing more happened to Magnussen in qualifying for his Michael Schumacher Monaco 2006 antics.
It was odd, wasn't it? It looked like he was going around Parabolica and obviously got told there were fast cars coming. He's on an in-lap. So instead of, you know, doing the normal thing and pulling off and letting them all through on the inside, he just drove into the gravel trap, kicked up a load
brought
of gravel,
out the
caused
flags.
Yellow flags
yeah.
to screw everyone who was trying to improve to beat him, and got away with it. Yeah, but it was just bizarre as to what he's trying, what thought process was that. Maybe it was genuinely like dark arts of being, well, if I cause the yellow flag, no one's going to beat me. So, you know, fair play
Nico
to
Nico Rosberg, 2014
well,
Monaco, isn't
that
it?
That was a mistake when he broke too late, but yeah.
Oh, so did Magnussen, you could argue.
Well, he just, a mistake, he forgot to turn.
Exactly, yeah. Never know what. I mean, it is Kevin Magnussen. It's happened before, and I'm sure it'll happen again. But yeah, out in Q1, though, he did just squeeze by as well, didn't he? Rather staggeringly.
Yeah,
I mean, no shocks, was it? Tsunoda was a bit of a shock, to be honest, but VCarb weren't great here. Lance Stroll, I don't think he's ever made Q2, apart from 2017, where he ended up on the front row here.
Yeah.
Colapinto, you know, first ever qualifying effort, he was pushing hard on his second lap, made a bit of a mistake, and of course, drumroll please, at the back of the grid was the Saubers.
I've
way
given
off
up.
The pace of anybody.
I'm not getting points anymore. You've
they
been asking
definitely
me about
aren't
four
gonna score
times
this year.
That if
they aren't
going
to score, are they?
I don't know
it's been such a terrible year.
But on Instagram, their admin is so positive. I'm actually going to go and get it up.
Well, they've got to be, haven't they? You can't go. It's going. You know, we're here for another weekend. It's going to be great fun. You know, you got to be positive still.
Their caption on the results post where they finished 16th and 18th. Spoiler alert.
Oh no.
It says this. On paper,
go
today's
on,
result doesn't
me.
Look much different.
Have I lost you?
We're back. Can you hear me again?
Yeah, hello. Sorry. Yeah, carry on.
On paper, today's result doesn't look much different than previous races. But the low drag package we bought to Monza improved car balance and allowed Valtteri and Joe to fight at the back of the pack. It's a positive sign.
Fight at the back of the pack. Dearie me. I mean, who's a fan of, you know, like who actually supports Kick? Like,
yeah.
Kick Formula One team. Like, I mean, Sauber or Audi next year. I mean, all the hype and interest for them has gone through the floor, hasn't it? It's shocking. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty terrible at the moment still. I mean, it's one of those things as well where I hadn't really thought about it, but Williams this year, had Kick Sauber actually pulled their finger out, Williams would be in real trouble of finishing last again.
Yeah.
Which would have been quite a downturn after last year, but they look pretty safe to finish ninth because Sauber aren't doing anything anywhere.
Yeah, they couldn't even finish eighth still, really, with Alpine not looking great again recently.
Yeah, I suppose. Could happen. Q2, though, I mean, we've just mentioned Williams there. Of course, this is usually quite a good track for them. And Alex Albon made it into Q3 ahead of Fernando Alonso. So Aston Martin again this weekend looking pretty terrible. I believe they might be genuinely the only car this year that's further off the pace of Red Bull now than they were at the start of the year, which is
probably
quite impressive.
Probably are, to be honest.
They've
been great.
But yeah, Alonso out in Q2 alongside Ricardo, Magnussen and both Alpines. Which, to be fair, actually Alpine, they normally end up both out in Q1 here. So this time around, they did a little bit better than in previous years. But obviously, yeah, Q3 was a barnstormer, wasn't it? Six cars covered by less than 0.2 seconds come the end of the session. And probably, I mean, for some better, for some worse. For me, it was quite happy. None of those six were a Red Bull.
Yeah, it's not looking great. This is the point, Saturday afternoon after qualifying, was the point where I started panicking about the Drivers' Championship. Because up until this point, I've been living in denial about the fact that nobody's going to catch Max with that massive lead. When Vs finished
your predictions.
When he qualified 7th and Norris is on pole, I'm like, right, this is going to go really badly wrong. Because, yeah, if they stay where they start, then that's what... 19 points without fastest lap point, which is, it slashes it. It's really bad news. So I was worried. I'm very, well, I still am, to be honest. But
I
this is the, yeah, when he won at Zandvoort, I was like, okay, it's a McLaren special track. Norris is quite good there. This track is totally different to Zandvoort.
And it kind of feels now that McLaren are where Red Bull were at the end of last year. Well, there's other cars that can compete with them on tracks that suit them. But Red Bull, obviously last year, or McLaren this year, are still just that bit better normally, or should be just that bit better
still.
Yeah,
definitely not to the same level as Red Bull were last year.
No. But you say that, Ferrari should have won Vegas last year.
They should have done. Yeah, it's true. Verstappen was on a different level last year, I'm not going to lie, as well, which helped.
You say he was on a different level. He just had an OP car, Jamie, I think.
Well, Perez was barely finishing on the podium at all.
Yeah, but that's Perez.
Yeah, but if
it's
that
really
OP,
the same thing, is
Perez qualified half a tenth off Max here. Clearly he's got it back.
Oh, yeah, of course he has. He was going to out-qualify him until the last run, wasn't
he? Was,
it? Which would have been hilarious. But yeah, it did end up being, though, Lando took pole by just over a tenth over Oscar Piastri. It looked like on Saturday, Lando obviously just had the edge over everybody else. Russell ended up P3 ahead of both Ferraris and Hamilton, who was 0.4 clear of Verstappen by the end of the session there, with Perez, Albon and Hülkenberg rounding out your top 10. But I mean, Hamilton as well, he was really annoyed, wasn't he? Because I think the gap between him and pole was 0.186 of a second. And I think he said he was 0.2 down at the end of Sector 1. And they basically matched it throughout the rest of the lap.
Yeah. And
so
the fact
he
that you had
0.2 down on himself.
Six cars with a tenth and just under 0.2 of a second separating the top six is absolutely crazy. It is a short track, but even so, that's like, that's so tight. And the fact you had, yeah, any of those drivers could have made the difference and stuck it on pole. I do think that McLaren probably had a slight edge over the other two teams in that, but fair play. They did the best.
It was one of those ones, wasn't it, where someone got a lucky slipstream or something like that. Like, you know, like Max did at Imola.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, that could have been the difference maker come the end of the session there. But ultimately, yeah, it was McLaren front row lockout. So, Jamie, you're Zak Brown on Saturday night.
I'm not.
Do you play Papaya Rules or do you tell him to hold, well, you know, hold station lap one or try to choreograph later on? What did we make of the start?
The start, well, yeah, we had, obviously, turn one, Norris is used to losing positions at this point.
It's incredible record, isn't it?
It is. But
I saw someone had, like, it was 4-1 odds that he'd lead on the end of lap one, and someone put a tenner on it and got 40 quid back by saying he'd bottle it.
That's funny. That is good. But to be fair to Norris, he didn't lose it into turn one this time. He actually held it. Russell had to jump off the track in avoidance of Piastri. But then turn four came around and Piastri was not messing about at all. And he absolutely sent it. And this was a quality move from Piastri. And fair play. One of the moves of the season, I think. And took the lead into turn four and allowed Leclerc to get past Norris too. So he really isn't thinking about the Drivers' Championship, Oscar Piastri, is he? But maybe he is, but not for Norris. He's not.
Yeah, he's got his own Drivers' Championship. The gap's only 106 points.
I don't think Piastri's closing that up, to be honest. But yes, great move, quality move. And Norris clearly didn't see it coming. And ever since has been crying about it, which has been quite entertaining.
I mean, it's got to be studied, hasn't it? Just how quickly, probably since, I would say, Miami, fan support has collapsed for Lando Norris.
Yeah.
Because I remember I talked about it last year. I kind of said to you I wasn't a particularly big fan of him anymore. And you were still backing him quite a lot.
Yeah.
Even you said pre-show, didn't you? You're kind of getting a bit bored of him as well now.
Well, he's just
his mentality.
He's not been that likable recently at all. Because it's a combination of things. But he acts like he's in the elite. He acts like he's a Hamilton or a Verstappen or an Alonso. And he's won 2 Grand Prix in his career. And he keeps on bottling race wins all the time. And then, yeah, it's not very likable. And even little things like his attitude to the media, his attitude on things like Grill the Grid, which I know isn't that important, but he's not up for fun anymore. And I think when he had Sainz as a teammate, they had loads of fun. It was really likable. Because he was kind of like that little boy of the grid, basically. But now,
well, he was. He was the young kid on the grid for what? Until Tsunoda came in 2021. So he did have 2 years to enjoy that.
Yeah, and he was very likable back then. But then he obviously put Ricciardo to the shade and boosted his credibility quite a lot. And, you know, I think he's a very good driver. I don't doubt his ability at all. And I would easily have him in my top five on the grid, probably top four, maybe. I don't know.
Hang on a minute. No, you've just said he tries to class himself as one of the elites, like Alonso, Verstappen and Hamilton. And suddenly you're saying he's the very next best thing with that three.
Well, he's after. But I would say Alonso isn't in the prime anymore, neither is Hamilton. So,
hang on a minute. Hamilton's won as many races this year as Norris has in his entire career.
Yeah. I'm not saying Hamilton, but Hamilton in his prime is way better than he is now. So, like,
I still say Hamilton's operating pretty well. I know what you mean, though. Yeah,
but like, he's losing to Russell quite comfortably in qualifying battle, which he wouldn't be 5 years ago.
How many points is it on Saturday again?
Fair enough, but yeah,
yeah.
Piastri's come in and he is incredibly likable, incredibly chill, non-controversial, and a good laugh. And it's like suddenly everyone's like, "Oh wait, Norris isn't actually that fun. Why do we even like him?" Basically.
I think, honestly, Lando Norris, you know, because it's still the quote I keep seeing getting thrown around all the time now, isn't it? When Hamilton took win 92 at Portugal a couple of years ago, 4 years ago now.
2020, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously Norris going, you know, well, he's only got to beat 2 other cars and all this, that and the other.
But one other car, really.
I think Norris has suddenly woken up and kind of gone, this actually, yeah, I kind of didn't really realize how much work goes into win like that week in, week out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think there's kind of an element of he's gone, I'm not sure I can do that right now. Especially not right now. You know, I think there is a bit of doubt creeping in for him as well with everything.
Yeah.
Of, well, the amount of race wins. This is a huge opportunity to win a title this year.
Mm.
And he is, you know, through his own either judgment or errors or lack of pace or, you know, failure of a number one, you know, because he spent so much this year as well of going, you know, I don't want a Bottas or a Perez or anything like that, you know, I want to fight. And suddenly he's gone, well, I can't say I don't want to fight now, but Oscar Piastri is pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, and it's the third race in four.
Oscar just don't care.
Third race in four that Piastri's outpaced Norris in the race. Which is, yeah, quite something. But we'll get back to the race that we're talking about, but that's a little side note on McLaren and papaya rules, which is an awful, awful phrase. Whoever came up with
that. Oh, yeah.
Vomit inducing, but
it's up there with Esty Bestie as the worst things that my ears have had to listen to in recent years. Esty Bestie, you're the only person that calls yourself that, sir.
Yeah, or maybe like a parent.
Oh, that's even worse. Even worse. Shocking. But yeah, I mean, that was a sensational move, wasn't it, by Oscar up to turn four, and suddenly Lando's gone, oh, I'm actually going to have to fight him for this. And immediately Leclerc gets through as well.
Yeah.
I mean, lap one, though, there was a bit more chaos, wasn't there? Because Ricciardo just decided to ram Hülkenberg off the road for no reason.
Thank you.
Hülkenberg decided he'd get revenge and do it the same thing to Tsunoda, which is quite funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Hülkenberg got shuffled back to like 16th or something. Because Ricciardo just shoved him off at Ascari. I think it was just a pure error. It wasn't malicious, but even so.
Oh, no, I don't think he was doing it on purpose.
5 seconds to Ricciardo. And then I don't know if you saw when the mechanic put his hand on the front.
Yes! Oh, so painful. So funny, but so painful.
I really want to see that back because I only saw it live. But when he put his hand on the front wing and then, like,
and just immediately
put his hands on his head and was like,
yeah.
Have you seen the clip of the panda when someone in a panda suit is sat next to it?
Yes, yeah. So
painful. That's all
painful.
That's going through my head in that.
So painful.
Yeah, so Hülkenberg got even by destroying his teammate, and that made Tsunoda the only retirement of the race. And Hülkenberg got a 10-second penalty, but it wasn't the last penalty for a Haas, but we'll get to that later. Yeah, not the best judgment from Hulk, but at least it meant their rivals didn't score points either, so can't complain.
If we can't score, they can't score. The Hülkenberg way. It's fantastic. I mean, yeah, obviously early on, the big talk really still wasn't it, was obviously going to be about strategy. Because you'd think on paper, Monza, well, it's no tyre wear at all. It's just all straight lines and straight braking zones and things like that. But it was ripping the tyres apart, wasn't it, this weekend, this new track surface.
Mm.
And it was, I tell you what, if you want to look at graining, what it means in Formula 1 as a dictionary definition, we haven't seen it that much in recent years. This weekend was the perfect example of what graining actually looks like on a Formula 1 car. Of just that tyre getting ripped down the middle.
Yeah, yeah. And the Red Bulls, both of them started on hard tyres. Everyone else was on mediums. And the Red Bulls tyres, they went slightly longer than everyone else, but they were done within 20 laps, weren't they? 20 or 22 laps.
I think they were worried because obviously everyone else has already started pitting that they were just going to be too far behind to do anything if a safety car came out. I think that was why. I think they could have gone further, but that's why they didn't opt to. But of course, obviously, everyone else has started on mediums and went to hards. Red Bull started on hards and went to another set of hards. So suddenly you've got every other of the front running team going, the hards just aren't any better, are they? So everyone kind of immediately went to a two stop. And Charles Leclerc, of course, not happy with Ferrari because they allowed him to get undercut.
Yeah.
Obviously moving over to that two-stop strategy. Maybe hindsight's a beautiful thing.
Well, it was weird, really, wasn't it? Because they pit Leclerc one lap after Norris, at which point they've already lost the position. They knew that because the undercut was very powerful. So it was odd that they brought him in when they did, because it's like you're giving up track position and you're not giving yourself a tyre delta. And he had to go, like, it was like 15 out of 53 when he pit. So, a long way to go.
DRS, though, innit? DRS is still helpful. It's still helpful, though, isn't it?
Around the middle of the race kind of settled a little bit, the second stint. Magnussen was just fighting everyone under the sun, really, wasn't he? Some of the times better than other times. He had a little incident with Pierre Gasly.
Incident
at turn four, which, you know, I actually thought he was a little bit hard done by because there was no harm done. Both of them survived with no damage. But he got a 10-second penalty or 5 seconds. Yeah, it was 10 seconds, wasn't it?
10-second penalty, yep.
And more importantly, 2 penalty points for the collision with Gasly. And that causes him to be up to 13, I think, penalty points for the year. And a race ban for the next race in Baku. So despite scoring a point, which he's not done very often this season, I think that's his third points finish, and the only one where he hasn't finished behind Hülkenberg. And that is that's Baku gone, which is actually one of his stronger circuits, which is a shame.
Well, I think, you know, for Magnussen, I don't think he views it. I don't know if you saw his Instagram post today. He doesn't seem to be too worried either. I don't think he's seen that as a race ban. I think he's seen it as an extra week off after a hard-earned point.
Yeah, maybe.
Genuinely don't think he cares, because he knows he's not got a seat next year.
Yeah.
I think he was kind of, yeah, if I don't score points, if I wasn't going to score points in Baku anyway, that's well worth it.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm at a net gain from this.
Yeah.
And he doesn't seem phased.
And, exactly, like, obviously, exactly, the penalty points he picked up in Miami and in Saudi Arabia, mostly, Miami Sprint and Saudi Race, all of them helped Hülkenberg score points. So, really, all his penalty points have been worth
it. Hasser in the money.
And then they get Ollie Bearman in next week, or next race.
Exactly. So, well, probably. We don't know for sure yet.
I hope it's Fittipaldi, just because I want Bottas to finish 23rd in a 20-man championship.
I was going to say, it would be funny if it was someone else and they do get a better result than Bottas has had all year. I mean, even Gasly came out afterwards saying, which made me chuckle, because of course Gasly was the last driver that almost got a ban as well, but he managed to avoid it, and he was there going, I'll fight with Magnussen over that if he gets banned for it. And I think Magnussen went, don't care.
Yeah, I mean, Magnussen's not got banned for that incident. He's got banned for the million bits
a combination of incidents
across,
exactly,
Miami and Saudi Arabia.
Wait, hang on, you can't moan about that, Mr. Nico Hülkenberg.
Well, I can't.
He's
not
the
moaning.
Only reason Hülkenberg's stock's as high as it is.
I'm not moaning. It's served Hülkenberg very well this season, so I'm very happy.
It really has. I mean, we got a couple of other bits of dangerous driving, didn't we? Sergio Perez, George Russell. I mean, Perez's late block down towards turn one could have been an airplane crash.
Could have been.
And then moaned that Russell raced him too hard. Which I wasn't sure he was aware where he was at, but it was a Formula One race.
Yeah, the last Red Bull driver to say that was dropped at the end of the season, so...
He was. Yeah,
we'll
so
see how that
Goodo
goes.
Wins and all that. Yeah, funny. But yeah, like you said, obviously, it basically started calming down, didn't it? And it kind of became one of those races again this year, and it was probably a lot more prevalent last year, where it kind of became a race of strategy. And McLaren committed completely to the two-stop, didn't they? And it was solely, I think, because they thought everyone else was going to follow them.
Yeah, they thought they were commanding things with a 1-2 after Norris got past Leclerc. Then Piastri had a good lead. And the only driver that would look to threat on the one stop was Sainz, because he went very long in the first stint. So he looked to be committed to it. But they knew that because he lost so much time in that first, like the undercut, basically, when McLaren's got an 7 or 8 lap undercut on Sainz, they basically were like, well, we can two stop and beat Sainz, that's fine. What they didn't consider was that Leclerc, who pit at the same time as the McLarens, was whispering his tyres through to the end, because Leclerc was pretty much still with Norris, only a few seconds back, so they had to close up 10 seconds to get to Sainz and then another 7 seconds to get to Leclerc. And I don't think they considered the fact that Leclerc might go to the end. I don't think anyone did.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again this year. Charles Leclerc, if you exclude that 4-race, god-awful spell in the middle of the season...
He's been great. I'll agree with
you
now.
...has been fantastic. And he doesn't get... You know, we all say Leclerc, fantastic qualifier. He doesn't get enough credit on those rare occasions where tyre saving makes the difference. Because more often than not, the last really good example I can think of it with Leclerc was probably Turkey 2020, where he bottled it at like the final couple of corners.
Yeah.
Because that was going to be an incredible podium for him. But he does a really good job just on those rare weekends where it's right on the border and other drivers can't quite do it. He's adapted his driving style incredibly well over the last couple of years to nurse those tyres as and when he needs to.
Well, the racing in Silverstone 2021, almost won as well.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably another good example, yeah. He's very, very good at it when he needs to be.
Definitely.
Charles Leclerc as well is one of those drivers that absolutely shines. He can't seem to win races he should win, but can seem to win races you almost count him out of, which is probably not great if you want to win a world title, unless you want to do it the Frentzen way in 1999. But well, we don't talk about that. Exactly.
Seventh.
He did a really good job.
Spoiler, he won the race on this one stop. McLaren miscalculated.
But it was
Piastri.
How little his pace dropped off.
Yeah.
Was the staggering bit.
Yeah, it was so consistent the whole stint. Obviously, it came a little bit, but Piastri was going as fast as he could and closed back 14 of the 17 seconds while overtaking Sainz in the meantime. Leclerc just got it to the end. And I was
Ferrari,
astonished
Jamie,
that he picked.
Back on
I was,
top
what
yet
I was more
again.
Astonished by was how
Third
far Sainz he was. Because Sainz,
the year.
Sainz had better tyres than Leclerc. Sainz pit 8 laps after Leclerc, I think. And Sainz's pace fell off a cliff, and Leclerc's didn't at all.
Yeah, no, it was definitely just Leclerc obviously kept them in that little bit extra, didn't he? And kept them quite comfortable, which was really, really important come the end of the race. But, I mean, you got to think, Ferrari, third win of the year now, surely that's got to be the team you want to sign to next year. Surely they're going to be the team with the car to have next season.
Well,
surely next year's Ferrari's year, right? Yeah, Jamie, tell me.
Well, looking
please.
At their three wins, I would say one of them was on merit. On pure car
two
pace,
of them
I should
were
say.
On merit.
As in, this race was a good race to win, but they weren't the fastest car.
They weren't far away, though.
They weren't far away, but neither were they the fastest in Australia.
No.
But Monaco, fair play. They basically got to Bahrain and was like, right, we're not going to win the championship, although they might have been wrong.
they might still genuinely win the constructors.
They could. They were like, let's build a car that can do Monaco and can do Monza. What do they have in common? Slow speed corners and curb riding. Let's just build a car that's insane at those things.
It's and, worked. All I'm going to say.
Yeah, successful season.
All I'm going to say. Well,
that
like
bring
we,
us nicely on to your quiz.
Oh, okay. I was going to bring out the stat of the last time Ferrari won both Monza and Monaco the same year.
Well, I'll go
1979.
For that first. There you go.
Wild. 45 years it's taken.
That
and they won Le Mans in the same year as well.
Which they did this year or last year? They won Le Mans recently.
No, this
they?
Year. No, sorry. That's what I mean. They won Le Mans this year.
This year.
They won last year as well. But it's the first time in almost 100 years that any team has won Le Mans and Monaco the same year. Absolutely insane.
They've done like, well, I guess Monza is irrelevant to this stat, but they've done 2/3 of Triple Crown in a year. This is 2020.
They've won basically, I would argue, the three races Ferrari would want to win this year.
Yeah, yeah. But there have been 11 drivers in history to have won at Monza for Ferrari. You've got a minute.
Oh,
go.
No. Michael Schumacher,
yep.
Rubens Barrichello, Charles Leclerc, Fernando Alonso.
That's all good so far.
I don't believe Massa ever did.
No.
Jody Scheckter definitely did. Michele Alboreto?
Nope.
Nigel Mansell?
Nope.
Oh, who won it in 88? That's going to really bug me now. And it wasn't like Nannini or someone, was it?
No.
I'm trying to think, who else? Prost?
No.
Did I say Prost a second ago? No. John Surtees? Niki Lauda?
No.
22
seconds.
Oh, no. A minute seemed harsh for this because it's old timey. Fangio? There's
a couple of champions in here, not
Ascari.
Fangio.
Ascari?
Yep.
Farina?
Nope.
Hawthorne?
Nope.
5 seconds. I said Scheckter, didn't
yep.
I? That's the obvious one, yeah.
Your time is up.
Was it Alboreto?
Good.
Did I say Alboreto?
No, you said Alboreto, wasn't him.
I said
Alboreto. So,
who was it, the 188?
88
really
was Gerhard Berger.
Of course, it was Berger. Only race McLaren didn't win that year.
Yeah.
He led for like 3 laps at the end.
Yeah.
So annoying.
The other ones, there's a world champion in here, Phil Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Could have got him. And the other two, Clay Regazzoni, who you might not
of
have
course.
Got. And
yeah.
Luigi Scarfiotti, which is also quite hard.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah.
Better than
seven
my,
out of
was it,
11.
Baguetti a few weeks ago?
Baguetti, yeah.
That you were never going to expect me to guess. It's my
no.
first one.
No, that was fair.
No. You know what? I'll take that.
Good job.
I'll take
good
that.
Good job.
It's a pretty... I put out an interesting a tweet that generated a fair bit of interest last week about what's interesting about Schumacher. 5 wins at Monza, and only 2 of them came in years he won the world title.
Really? What other ones?
He never won in a dominant car at Monza. Like 2002 and 2004, where you would actually
Barrichello
expect
won,
him
didn't
to he? Wipe the floor. Barrichello won both. Barrichello was very good at Monza.
He did, because
his
last
ever F1 win as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant. We love
him. 1-2.
It was, yeah, their last ever 1-2. Was it their last ever win?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Burton only won the 6 out of the first 7. That
yeah,
was it.
But yeah, that's still mad. I'd love to do a retro podcast on that.
Well, it's
season,
quite similar to Red Bull season, given how slow that car is.
Yeah,
it
is. It is now, isn't it? Wild. Absolutely wild. There we go. Like you said, obviously, Charles Leclerc took the win, though, didn't he? In emphatic fashion. Lando Norris, P2 in the end. Oscar Piastri, P2 in the end, ahead of Lando Norris, even. But Norris did once again bag fastest lap, right on the last lap.
Yeah.
Ahead of Sainz, Hamilton, Verstappen, Russell, Perez, Magnussen and Albon. I saw a brilliant tweet earlier on this week, Jamie, after Zandvoort that made me chuckle, which was that George Russell could start from pole and Hamilton could start at the back of the grid, and at the end of a Grand Prix they'd meet somewhere in the middle. And I think that is so incredible and true. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it is funny. Russell, considering he's been on good form recently, which is probably a fair statement, his last 5
yeah,
races
so.
Have been retired 8th, disqualified 7th, 7th. So
yeah.
He's not had the rub of the green recently, has he? But
no. I there's a little bit I do feel slightly sorry for him recently. But,
yeah.
Hey-ho. What does that mean? In terms of the Drivers' Championship, the gap at the top's cut down to just 62 points now, isn't it? So it's come down by another 8, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, another 8 points, which is
was it 8,
a lot
was it
less
7?
Than it could have been. No, it was 8. 16.
Oh, because he got fast
points,
at that, didn't he?
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
So he's still coming down by exactly as much as it needs to.
It is. I'm worried. I need Red Bull to sort their rubbish out, basically. But,
Who would you rather win the world title, Norris or Verstappen?
Much
really?
Easily Verstappen.
Oh,
yeah.
Disgusting. I want to see Leclerc win it, or Oscar, to be honest, from fourth, but not optimistic.
Piastri's 106 points off. I just don't see it.
How many points has he taken out of Max in the last few Grand Prix?
4 races. Piastri has got a win, 2 seconds, and a fourth. That's what, 36.
So what's that?
Add
61, 73 plus any fastest laps point?
No fastest laps. So he's got 73.
Yep.
Verstappen has got 10 points plus 12 points. That's 22. Plus to a second, so 40. Plus a sixth, so 8. So 48.
So he's taken 25 points out of him. So he's you get about 50 points back by the end of the year, which I still think's hilarious at the rate he's going.
Yeah, but it's not 106, is it?
No, it's not enough. But still.
Yeah, Leclerc, I just don't think the Ferrari's fast enough, if I'm honest, because they're
no,
like,
nor do I.
The Red Bull will be faster than the Ferrari on multiple occasions between now and the end of the year. I genuinely don't know if it will be faster than McLaren if it carries on the way it is.
I don't think they will. I think this is the thing, isn't it, for Leclerc, is you as Ferrari would need... I mean, to be fair, Leclerc's very good at Baku in terms of one lap pace especially.
Yeah.
But you would need enough races where you're quicker than McLaren and Red Bull is the problem. I think there'll be a few where they're quicker than Red Bull, but if any, that they're quicker than McLaren.
They weren't really
quicker than McLaren here.
We just need all the 3 other Red Bull cars that aren't Verstappen to start being used as blue shells to take out Lando Norris, basically.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me.
That'd be nice.
Right, come on in, Jamie. Come on. There's what? We're 2/3 of the way through the season now, aren't we? With
yes.
That. 16 of 24. We've only done half the sprints, though. Jamie 183 for the clips. Who will be the 2024 Formula 1 Drivers' World Champion?
I really want it to be Max Verstappen. And
why?
I'm going to say it will
He's
be Max Verstappen.
He's won 3. You have someone else, man.
No, I want him to break the records. And he's always
won. Why?
Well. Because it'll be the greatest championship win of ever, because he's got the fourth fastest car at best.
No, but still, on average paces here, it's still the fastest car.
Yeah, but by the end of this, well, it shouldn't be anymore. McLaren have thrown away so many wins. The fastest, I mean, McLaren will win the Constructors. I have no doubt about that.
I mean, could Ferrari win that if McLaren implode?
They could, but do you really think McLaren will implode?
I don't know.
And
it surprised me.
Verstappen, I think he's just got a big enough buffer. But, you know, a little bit of bad luck. Like, one DNF, and I think
one DNF
changes.
One crash between him and Norris brings Leclerc into this, and I'm all for it. I want to see it happen.
I mean, if Verstappen ever has genuine track position over Norris, it's probably going to be win or crash.
Oh, it's
going to
be war. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you're saying 2024 Formula One World Champion, Max Verstappen.
Yes. And if I'm wrong, I'm very sad.
Yeah, go on. Okay. Not gonna put a wager to it.
No.
That's a shame. I'm going to say Lando Norris then. Not necessarily the man that I want to see win it, but I think he is going to be the driver that takes that crown.
Would you rather
Lando
Norris or Verstappen?
I'd rather Norris wins it. Come on.
I don't want to see Verstappen.
Oh, yeah, British bias, obviously. No, I'm just loving watching the Verstappen downfall and all those Red Bull Twitter accounts. They're getting so many followers over the last couple of years when Red Bull were dominating, now blaming the team.
Well, it
and
is
the
team's
team
fault.
Only. Hang on a minute. No, they're a team. That's the whole point. They win together, they lose together.
Yeah.
And suddenly it's then going, oh, Max deserves better.
Well, he does.
And all this, that,
in
and
the
other.
Same way Hamilton deserved better for 2 years.
I don't care. I'm just loving watching Red Bull implode, to be honest.
Fair.
Come on then, Jamie. There's 8 points in it between Red Bull and McLaren. There is 39 points in it between Red Bull, McLaren and Ferrari. Your 2024 winning constructor will be...
Oh, McLaren. 100%.
You're going to say McLaren. Yeah. That'll be their first Constructors' Championship in 25 years.
1998, wasn't it?
Yeah, wild.
One. Ridiculous. Yeah. But Ferrari
the fact that in
will
our
Red Bull are going to finish second.
The fact in our lifetime, we've only ever seen McLaren win one title, and that was courtesy of Lewis Hamilton.
And it shouldn't have
insane.
Been, because Felipe Massa deserved
it. Oh, here
it.
We go. Here we go. Yeah. Of course.
If Ferrari could
remove
a fuel nozzle, then Massa would have won the championship.
You could say that about anything, though. If Michael Massey knew how to play by the rule book, Verstappen wouldn't have won 2021. It's all pointless at this point, isn't it?
It is.
Whatever happened with that? Massa was going to sue F1, wasn't he? Or something.
I think it's still going. It's long term.
Is it still going on?
Probably still going on.
Don't know. So you're saying McLaren are going to win constructors?
Yes. From Red Bull, from Ferrari.
You don't reckon Ferrari can overhaul 39 points in 8 Grand Prix?
I just don't think they're going to be faster than Red Bull that much. They might be. It would be split, maybe 50-50.
I guess my theory is I reckon Leclerc will just outscore Verstappen in those last 8 races. It's where the Sainz can outscore Perez by 39 points across 8 Grand Prix.
Yeah, and I don't know. Sainz has got a bit of
inconsistency. We could genuinely see Red Bull
in.
Finish third.
We could.
Which would be funny.
We could. 38 points is a lot of points to overhaul when you're finishing like fifth at best, though, isn't it?
Can we take a second, Jamie? Because I kind of forgot about this in more recently to appreciate just how badly it's gone off the rails for Aston Martin.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Alonso had scored more points by the end of round 4 last year than he scored all the way up to now.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Yeah, they've had 4 double points finishes all season.
Oh, that is, I mean, that's mainly Lance Stroll's fault, but that is still
Haas
wild,
have had 2.
Isn't it? I said to you at the start of the year it was going to ruin the back marker battle. Now we had 4 teams all kind of fighting. You know, the idea that there's only 9 drivers so far this year that could theoretically have scored. The idea that someone could come in and immediately go to 10th in the standings after one race, theoretically, if they won it, is insane.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Behrman's still 15th in the championship.
Behrman's still 15th, tied with Magnussen and Albon.
One race. Hülkenberg could genuinely finish 10th, which would be insane in like the 6th, not even the 6th, the 8th best car.
Oh, it's definitely the 7th best
it's
car.
It's probably the 7th best.
I mean, no, it's the 6th best, yeah, easily. It might be 5th a lot of the time. And, of course, as we mentioned earlier on, Valtteri Bottas is now 22nd of the 20-man championship.
Yes.
Boy, do I feel sorry for that
man.
And
why does Joe deserve to lose a seat instead of Bottas?
Now, behave. Behave. Predictions recap then, Jamie.
here we go.
Never in doubt for me and my boys at Ferrari. What are the scores on the doors coming?
Well, you were
6
points clear of me before this. And you threw caution to the wind and went
no,
Charles
I just believed
Leclerc
Jamie
on pole.
No points.
You said Charles Leclerc to win the race.
2 points, baby!
Which
and
is
I
insane.
Tell you what, after Saturday, I never thought that would happen.
Lando Norris in second.
So 1 point for
one
that.
1 point. And Carlos Sainz in third, which looked on, to be fair, but sadly not.
It, yeah, Oscar Piastri ruined me getting a nearly perfect score this week.
I was using Hopium and Red Bull were just messing
Hopium
around.
And stupidity.
Max Verstappen pole, 0 points. Max Verstappen win.
Nil pois.
0 points.
Nil pois.
Charles Leclerc in second, 1 point.
1 point.
And Carlos Sainz in third. So 3-1 to you.
What's the overall scores now? Sorry, just
you're
tell
up
me.
To 61.
Yep.
And I won 53.
So you need a perfect weekend somewhere.
I need a big overhaul. It's not happening.
I mean, to be fair, sprint races between now and the end of the year could help, but that
it's
is
not happening.
Mad.
I've just got to stop predicting Red Bulls to do well because they are the fourth best car at the minute. So.
Well, you've just said Max is still going to win the world championship.
Well,
so
he is.
You better
I'll just start predicting Norris to not do well as well.
Fair enough. Fair
it'll be
enough.
A, it'll be a crawl across the line to get this championship over the line.
Race rating then, Jamie.
This is a weird one.
I think it deserves an 8 point. No, I'm going to say an 8. I think it was basically Belgium again.
I'm going to say a 7.5.
You think it was worse than
Belgium? I enjoyed
Belgium
more. I don't know why.
Is it because Max wasn't as bad?
Maybe. Yeah, Monza's also a really short race. It's like it's over before you know
it's great, isn't it? It's 80 minutes.
Also, no safety cars since Canada. Isn't that mad?
Wild. Wild.
But
so mind
it, I'm
not safety
this
cars
job.
To win.
I wouldn't crash on
it's
Thursday
been the same
either.
Way since 2021. No, I'm not getting a giggle for that one. Fair enough. I think I might have lost Jamie.
I didn't hear what you said, but
fair
I'm sure
I said
my reaction...
Verstappen's needed safety cars to win since 2021.
Right. I'm glad I didn't laugh or respond to that. There we go. Driver of the day, probably Leclerc, isn't it?
Oh, it's got to be Leclerc, surely.
Yeah.
We gave it to Norris last week for winning. Leclerc deserves it this week. Although, to be fair, I think there's a couple of shout-outs as well that need to be noted. Albon getting another point.
2 points.
Magnussen. Albon got 2 points, didn't he? Sorry, Magnussen getting another point. Colapinto as well. Kind of, it felt like the limelight pretty much immediately came off him as we got into the weekend, didn't it? But he still did a really good job. And easily my driver of the weekend, Leonardo Fornaroli. Last corner, last lap, Formula 3. I've liked him all season. I will always root for a guy that doesn't win races but wins titles. And apparently, I think he basically did near enough the same thing in Freca a couple of years ago. Let me just double check this, Jamie. You keep talking.
Well, F2 was also quite funny because he had Coolin, or I can't remember his first name.
Oh, yeah. Niels Coolin.
Who restarted the safety car period in fifth. And after a lap, was last.
Insane.
Insane.
Absolutely
lovely
insane.
Stuff. And Antonelli, what's he called? Bortoletto, doing the last to first with a well-timed safety car and a bit of luck and a bit of pace, to be fair to him. One from 22nd on the grid, which has happened once in Formula One ever.
But to be fair, he got a little bit lucky with the safety car.
He did.
So Fornaroli, he won the I think it's the rookie championship. Yeah, he won the rookie championship in Freca a couple of years ago. Again, despite I don't believe he ever finished top of the rookies in any race. But he's just mad consistent.
Yeah, that's good.
I love
also,
it.
Also, poor Paul Aaron was doing so well.
Oh, yeah. He's had both the luckiest and unluckiest season I've ever seen.
Since Silverstone, which was four races ago, so there have been eight F2 races featuring sprint that time, he's scored points on one occasion and has had four retirements, two of which from pole position. I do really feel sorry for him, but yeah, he's
so
down
do
to
I.
fourth now.
And can Formula 2 as well please stop hyping up Joshua Dirksen? He's not that great. He's not a big surprise in Formula 2.
I have
2.
A soft spot
he's
for Joshua
easily,
Dirksen.
No, he's just easily got the best power unit, and it annoys me to no end that they won't just say that, because it's so glaringly obvious.
I don't know why I like Dirksen, but I kind of do. Same with Oliver Goethe.
Fair enough. Yeah, I like Ollie Gerther, to be fair. I can understand that one.
Yeah, do you think Borthwick is going to overhaul Hadjar?
It wouldn't surprise me with that kind of luck last time. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. Have we got anything else to add, Jamie? We've done a pretty good job today, haven't we?
Yeah, I think we've smashed it.
Wonderful. Well, thank you as always, everybody, so much for listening. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure to leave a like. Get yourself subscribed. We get a little bit more. We get one day off, or 1 week off, really, I should say. Because I assume we'll be back as normal next week to preview Baku. And then things get a bit crazy, don't they, towards the end of the year, because every Grand Prix is at night time.
And a sprint.
But we'll still be there. And sprints, yeah, oh man, I'm looking forward to three sprints. If anything, at least it might just give Max more pain and Lando more points. That's the only reason I want them. But yeah, thank you all so much as always for listening, and we'll be back next week to preview the Azerbaijan Grand Prix.